John chapter 10, beginning in verse 7, and then we'll jump over to Psalms 23. It says, "Then Jesus said to them again, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. And whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and he will go in and go out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that you might have life and that they may have it more abundantly.'" Verse 11, "I am the good shepherd." He says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." My God.
More things are coming to me right now.
Lord. "But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them." I want to make one point. I heard the Lord say this while we were reading that. Some of you need to watch out for the wolves in your life. There are people in your circle, and if anything they do scatters people, they're a wolf. All through Scripture, one of the most keying, identifying, and one of the most powerful things that a church can have, or you can have in your marriage, in your friendships, in your families, in the workplace, is unity. Is unity. So the Bible says, "A house divided shall not stand." And Jesus said it there, that the wolf comes to scatter. Yes, he'll come to scatter the sheep, but he comes to scatter your marriage, your finances. Anytime you see that, you need to identify a wolf. You love him, but love him from a distance. Come on, somebody. That in itself will preach. Identify the wolves. Love them. My God, still love them. Because you got to get to heaven. But I've learned to love people from a distance. If they're a scatterer, if they're like an atomic bomb every time they enter the presence, if all they do is ever talk about people and blow them up, they're a wolf. I don't care what they call themselves, they're a wolf. Hallelujah. There's wolves in church. Yes, there are. Hallelujah. I know that's not popular. Psalms 23, just verse 4. He's the good shepherd. Psalms 23, verse 4. This is after he already says, this is already after David says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Verse 4, we hit it last week a little bit. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow." Ah, the shadow and the shepherd. "The valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Hallelujah. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." We covered a lot of ground over the last few weeks, and for the sake of time, I can't go back and do a review of all the great things that you've learned, and I know some of you have really enjoyed it, but I want to just touch on a couple of things that are important to this so that we can get to the shadow and the shepherd and make it all make sense. And if you've missed any of it, good Lord, let me just give a quick infomercial. If you've missed any of this series and you're a busy person, then go to our website and listen to the podcast version. While you're driving, working out, taking a walk, walking the dog, any of those things, you can do that. All right, now Pastor Donnie got them all available. We're on iTunes, Amazon, I forget. There's like 7 or 8 different platforms now they're on. And we jumped up really high there. So if you're on any of those things and you use this particular app for your podcast, you can listen to the word, all right? And if you want to watch it, you can do that on Facebook, all right, or on TV, but sometimes it's easier to listen. All right? Infomercial over. That's all available at freshfirechurch.net. All right. Here we go. So earlier in the text of this chapter, Psalms 23, David says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And we get here to the part of the text that I want to focus on. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." And I made a brief statement a few weeks ago that I want to make sure that you catch and us begin to work from, is that in order for there to first be a shadow, there has to be light. Right? In order for you and I to have our shadow be cast on the ground, the only reason when you're outside walking on a day like today that you will see your shadow on the ground is because of the source of light. Right? And so, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," it wasn't death that he was near, it was a shadow of death. And there's a difference. My shadow is not me. In fact, have you ever noticed how funny your shadow makes you look? You can't tell how tall a person is based on the shadow, how big, how tall, or how wide. You can't tell the facial features of a person. You can't tell detail based on just a shadow. Right. And David says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." That the only reason there's a shadow anyway is because there was a light source. We know the Bible says that even Jesus called himself, he's the light of the world. Amen. So it's because of the light source in the first place. Anytime you see something dark, anytime you see some kind of a shadow that we talked about it over the last few weeks, you need to remember the only reason you're seeing that show up is because of the light source that's also near. Hallelujah. Because the Lord is your shepherd. And we'd spend a lot of our time, every time that we face fear or anxiety or worry, stress, right? We need to understand one thing as we've dissected and looked at Psalms 23 over the last number of weeks and even John 10, that when we allow worry, anxiety, fear, whatever it may be, to stress you out and get you all bent out of shape, you need to remember one thing. Whatever it is that's working on your nerves, that's working on your mind, that's taking your peace, that's taking your joy, it's only a shadow. Hallelujah. It is only a shadow. What I have learned through this is that often many of the things that deplete our joy, our peace, are destroying us or eating away at us, it isn't real anyway. Remember back in the Word of God, I don't want to start taking my rabbit trails, but things are flipping through my mind as I'm saying this to you. Remember, the Word of God declares, "For we cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God," the Bible says. Amen? Imaginations in the Bible, it comes from the root word, which means images. How does the enemy get you messed up and get you having stinking thinking and getting you off track? He places images in your mind. Right? When you start thinking, you get images, do you not? I'm a visual learner, right? Show me anything once, I can learn. When they showed me how to play the piano, it just made sense. Right? I'm a visual learner in anything. And so the enemy knows that about me. He knows that about you. And so he places images. That's why the Bible says casting down imaginations. And meaning, don't allow the images that the enemy puts in your mind to take root, to be a seed planted. Hallelujah. Are you staying with me? Don't look at me like you're confused, mother. This is still basic. All right. I'm trying to get you to understand something, that when the enemy places images in your mind, it's not real. It's an image. It's a shadow. Are you hearing me? Follow me now. It is a shadow, right? When you get doom and gloom and you're thinking the worst, it is a shadow. What is the light is the Word of God. What is light is what Jesus has says. When he says the enemy comes but to steal, kill, and to destroy, but I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. All right, that him, Jesus, and his abundance is not a shadow. That's reality. When we hear testimonies like Cynthia, that is not a shadow. That is reality. I can see it. We can see that it is taking place. When I talked to her on the phone, because we weren't able to go visit, thank you, COVID. When I talked to her on the phone, it was difficult to hear her. because of how weak in her body. And so that her being here and her healing is not it's not a shadow. It's not just an image, right? It is a miracle out of the source of the light source of Jesus Christ. There is much that we're allowing our lives to be destroyed by because the enemy comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. It's not real. It's a shadow. Think about it this way. Many of us have made some terrible decisions. I know I'm not the only one. Hallelujah. My past is hairy and curly and ugly. And I made bad decisions. Come on, somebody. And those things that I've done, the enemy would like to use, right? And he brings them up in present day as a shadow. Ran into somebody at the vet. I had my dog to the vet, 10th time this year. And I had my dog to the vet, and I ran into somebody I went to school with. And as soon as I saw her, even though we had our face mask on, I was like, Lord Jesus. I knew. Her and her sister were twins, and we always had a blast. But I knew exactly when she recognized me, the one thing she was going to remember. And I'm not going to tell you what that is. And she said, I thought that was you. She said, and you're a preacher now, too. I said, I am. She said, yeah, I thought I did hear that. She said, that is the biggest shock of all. And when I left there, we had a good conversation. When I left there for a moment, I saw the shadow. The memory of who that was. I wasn't a bad person, I was just ornery. A shadow. The enemy would want you to believe it's because of that shadow that you're ineffective. That shadow, the enemy would want you to say, why? Why are you even trying? Do you really think anything's going to change? Right? Those are the voices that we hear. Some of you hear different voices based on that shadow, that thing that is not real. Hallelujah. But the only reason the shadow shows up in the first place, what did I say, was because of the source of light. I've learned one thing about even worry. Worry is something that gives small things big shadows. When you and I allow ourselves to worry, listen to what I just said. When you and I allow ourselves to worry about anything, I don't care if you're worrying about your future, your finances, your family, your peace, your job, your marriage, whatever it is. When you and I worry gives small things big shadows. And that is one of the things the enemy does to bring destruction. That's why I titled this today, The Shadow and the Shepherd, because you and I have to remember that we can't be distracted by the shadow or the shadows, and we have to remember who the shepherd is. If you know who the shepherd is, then you will know more about who you are. I said that like in week one. That's why it's so important we understand who the good shepherd is in its fullness. Hallelujah. David said earlier in verse 1, he said, the Lord is my shepherd. And I taught you, when David says my shepherd, it means my personal possession. I love that. I am his and he is mine. Done. Sometimes you and I need to remind the enemy, if you are struggling this morning with anything, or if you've just been almost defeated this week, sometimes you just need to say, Lord, devil, the Lord is my shepherd. You don't have to say anything more. You don't even have to address the enemy anymore. You don't have to pray until the ceiling falls down. Sometimes you just need to remind the enemy, devil, the Lord is my shepherd, because he knows the rest. The enemy knows the word of God often better than we, the church, do. He knows when you refer to the Lord as your shepherd, he knows what that means and what's coming. I am his and he is mine. David goes on and says, I shall not want. Remember, I told you it means I'm not worried or I refuse to want. It means if you and I understand how awesome God is, God wants to bless you and I with such abundance that you won't even want for anything. And I'm not just talking of cash. I'm talking about in every aspect of your life. But you need to see that that's who he is. You need to be able to see. Boy, I heard, felt that bounce back. You need to be able to see and understand that God is such a mighty, powerful, awesome, loving, generous, protecting, all-powerful God, that he loves you and I so much, and that when you and I are his and he is mine, that's how David was able to say, I shall not want, meaning, God, you give me everything that I have need and everything I would ever want, therefore I won't want for anything. In fact, God, I refuse to want because I understand how awesome you are. That is tremendous. That is awesome. That means there is another level, a depth in God that most of us haven't got to. God wants you to understand him that audacious, that bombastic, that, I mean, marvelous. I mean, there are endless words to be able to describe him and how awesome that he is when we understand he's our shepherd and that we shall not want. About a year or so ago, I preached a message on the goodness of God. And in that message, I talked a little bit about that part of God. And that when you and I understand his goodness and how good he is, and when you live in that realm of understanding the goodness of God, you don't even have to ask him for it. God just knows that you thought about it, and there it is. And I shared with you, I shared a little story at the time about a man who didn't say anything. He was leafing through a catalog and saw something, paused on it, looked at it, never said anything to his wife. Never said anything to anyone. He just looked at it and he thought to himself, I'd like to have that. With days later, he got a package in the mail, and it came from a follower of his ministry that didn't live locally but lived several states away. And she said, I saw this in a magazine the other day, left a little note, and I thought of you. And it was just a little statue thing because he like enjoyed fishing. And she thought of him. See, God does things like that where you don't have to pray for it. You don't have to ask him for it. You don't even have to announce it to your best friend that I want. God knows what you want. And that's the kind of God that he is. Think about that he wants to bless you without you even having to ask. That's what every father in this place wants to do for their child. I mean, if you're a real father, not a sperm donor, but if you're a real man, you want to help and bless your children without them ever having to ask. Yes, hallelujah. Thank you, somebody. Amen. You just want to give. You do. You just want to give them everything you can within reason. Hallelujah. That's how you need to begin to understand the love of God that he has for you and I. You shall not want. He said then also, he makes me lie down in green pastures, meaning he teaches you and I how to rest in his abundance. Meaning he's teaching you and I how to live and with more than enough. Hallelujah. Not lacking anything. Understand that awesomeness of God. So many of us are broken, busted, and disgusted always. That is not God's desire for you. The church has sort of taught that kind of theology that God does that to keep you humble, but you also have to begin to understand how much God loves you and the goodness of God and how he wants to bless his children. Because when you are blessed, it's an identifier to other people that they can begin to see God working in your life. Hallelujah. So yes, he wants you blessed. That's one of the things I learned about finances. Is when I was having a difficult time, I learned, Adam, if you'd be disciplined to be a steward of that money, then not only will you be blessed, but people will be able to see the goodness of God in you, around you, the things that you touch, right? Just by being a good steward. Then because I can manage it, God sends more to manage. Thank you, Lord. He leads me beside still waters. Remember, I said that he leads in front of you. That God goes in front of you, meaning that every time you and I feel like we're under attack, that's true, but he's in front of you. All you're feeling is the turbulence of what he's absorbing. My God. He leads me beside the still waters, meaning he's taking you to a calm place. Some of you have wondered why you are here. Some of you have wondered why you are going through the season that you are going through. It's because he had to lead you to a calm place. Still waters, a place of refreshing. Thank you, Lord. Sheep won't even give birth in a turbulent place. They have to be in a still place. In other words, God's saying you're trying to enter a new season in your life, so he brought you to a calm place. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Beside still waters. Because if it's turbulent, it might be a trap. Remember, if there's a lot of turbulence in an area, it's probably a trap. Mm-hmm. He restores my soul. We covered that earlier. Better than the original. Which brings me to, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Remember, it wasn't death, it was a shadow of death. Some of you need to begin to say that over your life to the things that you are confronting and dealing with. It's not that, it's a shadow. That's not debt, that's a shadow. It doesn't mean don't pay it. It just means you need to be able to speak life to it. Meaning that you're going to believe in the power of Jesus Christ and his abundance over the debt. Oh, see, that just wasn't received at all. See, the church gets so uptight when you start talking money. I'm not trying to get anything out of it. You can keep it. You ain't my provider. I tell everybody who doesn't want to tithe, don't tithe because it don't come from you anyway. Because it really doesn't. This preacher don't take a dime from our church. Not a dime. Because ultimately, the church isn't the provider. He is. Now, why do I say that? The church gets really uptight when we begin to talk about money because we think God doesn't want us to have it. Well, think what you will, but I'm telling you, God wants you to be able to live in a place of abundance. So you have to begin to see your debt and say, that's just a shadow. Why is it a shadow? Because it's a distraction of the reality. I mean, God is bigger than any distraction. God is bigger than any shadow, right? That's why David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow. It wasn't death. It was just a shadow of it. You and I have got to be able and refuse to be distracted by the shadows that are taking our attention, the shadows that are taking our peace, the shadows that are taking our joy. Hallelujah. Some people are fearful to look at, right? They're big, they're burly, they're muscular, whatever. They'll put the fear of God on you if you see them in a black back alley. But their shadow is not. You and I have got to begin to look at life and the things that are depleting us as a shadow. Hallelujah. If you'll get a hold of just that, you'll begin to see life and things so much differently for yourself. Hallelujah. Because most of the things we're losing sleep over and worrying about and all of those things, it's a shadow. It's not real. Glory. It's not real. Say that out loud. It's not real. You know, you need to get this in your spirit. It's a shadow. The enemy uses images to defeat you. Think about it. I've said it so many times. I've done so much teaching over 23 years preaching on the mind. Where the mind goes, the man goes. If you and I will get a hold of that and realize the enemy doesn't have to do much to you except to get in your mind. And he does it through the images that he puts in your head. The whole reason that some of us got to a place in life that we looked and we said, how did I get here, was the enemy did it with images. He put a picture in your mind. I always say this, you didn't, when people come to me and say, I didn't mean to do that. Yes, you did. You didn't sin just by chance. You thought about it. You processed it. You weighed the risk and you did it. Why? Because the enemy put images in your mind. Hallelujah. So the anytime the enemy wants to defeat you, he does it in your head. And so the only way you and I are going to get real victory and get real revelation of the goodness of God and him being a good shepherd, I am the good shepherd, is to defeat the images that are being put in your mind. Cast them down with the reality. You the only way to dispel a shadow is to shed more light. You do know that. I mean, I know that sort of science, and I was never really good at it. But I do know the basics. The only way to get rid of a shadow is to put more light on it. Jesus is the light of the world. You and I've got to put the word on it. The word works if we will work the word. You will come out of what is tempting you, what is trying you, what is stressing you, if you will put the word on it, if you will put the light on it. Hallelujah. Yea, though I walk through, you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Hallelujah. The key is to keep moving, meaning you can't give up, you can't quit. Watch what you're saying. That's exactly what the enemy wants us to do. Say, I quit. I'm not trying anymore. I'm done. I quit. I'm too frustrated. I'm stopping. Forget it. Because the enemy knows the images are working. Watch your words. Listen what David said. In all that David, I mean David, in all that he had experienced, the good, the bad, the ugly of his life, he's able to stand here in the midst of Psalms 23 and say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He restores my soul. He makes me lie down in green pastures. And here, you, Lord, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, Lord, I'm not going to even fear evil because you are with me. He's combating the images with truth. There was a lot people could have said about David, you know. A lot. There's a lot the word does say about David. Not a perfect man. But he's speaking against the shadows in his own mind with the truth of the word of who God is. Hallelujah. Because he's making a choice when he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He's saying, I'm going to walk through it. It's not going to walk through me. Hallelujah. You and I need to make up our mind. You and I are going to walk through whatever it is we are facing right now. I'm going to walk through this thing because it is not going to walk through me. Hallelujah. Whatever, if it's a health issue, I'm going to walk through it because it's not walking through me. If it's finances, if it's marriage, if it's COVID-19, whatever it is that's stressing you out, you are going to walk through it because it will not walk through you. I learned a long time ago that whatever I'm facing, I'm not in this by myself. We're not in this by ourselves. If you and I can get a hold of the word and the revelation of who God is, you will know you may feel alone, but you are not alone. You may feel like you're the only one dealing with what you're dealing with, but you are not in this by yourself. Hallelujah. Remember, because later in this same chapter, he says that goodness and mercy are following him. So not only is the good shepherd in front of you, but remember, goodness and mercy are your bodyguards. You are not in this by yourself. Hallelujah. What is goodness and mercy? The best definition I like to give people is this, and there are more, but it's favor and favor. Favor and favor. The shepherd in front of you and favor behind you. I mean, Lord Jesus. I can't preach that, but it's goodness. If you can begin to understand the favor of God, you will be taken to a whole other realm. He says, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. I will fear no evil because you were with me. I said a couple weeks ago that whoever's fighting you isn't just fighting you, they're fighting God. So when people talk about you, they're not talking about you, they're talking about him. Why do I say that? Because you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Run your mouth about me, God gonna get you. Because you ain't going to talk about God the Father, mighty God, Prince of Peace, everlasting, and think he's going to let you get away with it. Hallelujah. He's coming for you. Glory to God. Let him talk. The shepherd leads me because he's in front of me. So you need to get these mental pictures. Remember, I think I told you it was last week or the week before. A shepherd is not passive, but what? They're aggressive. A shepherd knows how to fight. That's why you need to take comfort in the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You need to take comfort in verse 4, that yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me. He is with you, fighting for you. Hallelujah. He is a great fighter. Every shepherd is good at fighting. Amen. I love the fact that the shepherd, you need to understand the shepherd provides everything that the sheep have need of. The shepherd does. There's interesting things. In the past couple weeks, I went through some of the traits of a shepherd and why they anoint their head with oil, according to the Bible, so they don't stick their heads in places that don't belong and all that. We went through all the specifics, and they have short legs. That's why you can't ride them. They're also not built to carry anything. They're not like a mule, meaning you and I were never meant to carry the burdens and the weight that we often carry. Hallelujah. Because the shepherd provides everything that we'll ever have need of. Uh-huh. Meaning when you need green pastures, he'll lead you there. When you need a place to rest, he'll lead you there. When you need sleep, he'll take you there. When you need protection, that's what his rod and his staff are for. Amen. Remember, I told you that his rod, he'll beat off the wolf when he comes for you. because he's aggressive. The shepherd is aggressive. Hallelujah. Everything that you ever have need of, he's got it. See, when you and I get a hold of the fact that he is our good shepherd, when you and I get a hold of the fact that God, he is the ultimate amazing shepherd that we need, then you don't have to make anything happen for yourself. You'll stop stressing out on how to strategize on how you're going to make things work out in your life, because he is the good shepherd. If he leads you to waters when you need him and still waters when you need him, and he takes you to the pasture when you need that, then how much more do you think that God's going to work out every other detail that you're worrying about that's causing a big shadow that's unnecessary? The shepherd will provide everything that you need. We need to just learn to rest in him. I don't have to make anything happen. It doesn't mean we don't need a job or we don't pay anything. I'm saying stop stressing out over the things that God said, I've got this. Remember who I am. Yes. Hallelujah. Good stuff. Good stuff. Now, there was another place in Scripture that the Bible talks about shepherds in fields. Just go with me. My mind is Luke chapter 2. The birth of Jesus. Remember, the Bible says Luke's description is unlike anyone else's, in that in the midst of the description of Luke 2, as he tells the story, Luke says, and he says, there were shepherds in the field keeping watch over their flocks. And the Bible goes on to say the angel of the Lord appeared to them, right? The angel of the Lord appeared to them. Now, a lot of shepherds gather their sheepfold, they gather their sheep and put them in the sheepfold at night. They don't wander in the night hour because they're susceptible to the wolf. They become prey. So I found it interesting that they were grazing at the first place at night and that they were in a field, because David says that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. And yet in Luke 2, the Bible says that the sheep were grazing in a field. There's a difference between a pasture and a field. All of us farm boys know so. That's true. A field is meant to grow crops and for harvesting. It is not meant for grazing. So why were they there? I just love it. Why were they? Why were they grazing in the field? I'll give the answer next week. No. I do that sometimes. Shepherds in the field. Shepherds in the field. In fact, why does Luke even find it necessary to even tell us there were shepherds in the field? Why does it matter? I mean, really. We're talking about the birth of Jesus, the promised Messiah. Does it even matter that you tell us, Luke? The only one to tell the story and tells us the shepherds were in the field watching over their flocks. Hallelujah. A field, a place of harvest, a place of blessing. And I begin to think about it, and there are several key things to unlock there. But I really begin to think, There's a few reasons why they're there. One, because the field is the place of harvest and blessing. And even Jesus himself, years later in ministry, describes God as the Lord of our harvest. The Lord of our harvest. Meaning he is a God of our, not just harvest, but blessing. And the blessing is the harvest, one and the same. And so in addition to that, it is... the way for Jesus to announce there's a season change coming to the church. It's not just a baby in a barn. It's not just the Messiah. But along with the Messiah, along with this virgin birth that's happening, Jesus was making a number of statements. But there was a season change introducing to you and I harvest into the church, which we would later find out comes, I can't get into it, but we'll later find out there is power in the midst of harvest in several places throughout the Word. And so we've also seen the words in the field other places in Scripture, Cynthia. I'm a student. I'm a word student. And so I love to take words and really dive into them and cross-reference them and look at every possible connection that there is. And so I'm always connecting dots to the Word of God. I believe that's important. There's another place that the Bible says in the field and references shepherds. And it's a story going back a few months. I preached a message about Cain and Abel. And the Bible says, to summarize this, back clear in the book of Genesis, the story of Cain and Abel is they both brought an offering before the Lord. And the Bible says that Abel was he was really a shepherd. He was a tender to the flock, so that makes him a shepherd. And Cain was a tiller of the ground. And the Bible says they each brought a offering to the Lord, and God accepted Abel's offering, because it was a blood sacrifice, and he did not accept Cain's offering. And the Bible says that Cain was wrought with anger. So much so, and when I preached that message, I think I told you that the story of Cain and Abel was really a picture of Jesus. Can I explain that? Cain was so wrought with anger that the Bible says that he killed his brother Abel. But more specifically, that text in Genesis gives detail and says that Abel was in the pasture. Watch this. Cain was in the field. And when Abel knew that his brother was so angry, the Bible says that Abel left the safety and security of the pasture and went to the field. Cain's so angry, he kills his brother, and God says to Abel, or God says to Cain, what? I can hear the sound of your brother's blood crying out from the ground. What have you done? Remember, that story is a picture of Jesus to come. Thank you, Lord. Shepherds in the field. They were in the field. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Some of you are not with me. And so Luke mentions shepherds in the field. And this is important. He mentions shepherds in the field because to be in the field means they've come out of their territory. All right? They've come out of their territory. And what is happening with the birth of Jesus, and the reason that Luke mentions it and nobody else does, is Jesus, I'll put it this way, it's as if Jesus is reenacting Cain and Abel. Think of it this way. Look at it as a reenactment. Just, I'm using that word because I want you to get this picture. It's as if Jesus is reenacting the story of Cain and Abel, because we know he knows the Word of God. He knows what's taking place. Because Abel went into Cain's field and left his pasture. Jesus coming to the earth is him coming into Satan's field. Hello. Did you see and start to see the picture? Jesus coming to the earth. The reason that the shepherds are mentioned, that they are in the field, is it was really not just a statement to you and I, so that you and I would know that wherever we go, however far we go, he can get to us. But it was really more specifically a statement to be made to the devil himself. Why? Because the Bible says that Satan used to be in heaven. And Ezekiel says, I saw you fall like lightning from heaven. He was cast out. Because he thought more highly of himself than he should have. More superior than what he was. And so the Bible says he was cast out and he was seen falling like lightning from heaven. And so it was really a direct message, or even a direct assault to the Satan himself. Reminding him, Satan, that you have limited authority in the earth. You do have authority in the earth, but you have limited authority. Reminding him, hey devil, you were cast out of heaven. And so what Jesus was saying by being born in a barn in the midst of a field and not a pasture and not the Hilton Garden Inn or not Nemacolin or any other prestigious place, right? He was a baby born in a barn. I know it ain't Christmas, but this applies. He was a baby born in a barn in a field and not a pasture. Because Jesus was saying, not only will I run you out of heaven, devil, but I will come into your own territory and I will overthrow you even in your own territory. That's how big I am. That's how bad I am. That's how much authority I have. Can you hear what I'm saying? You and I need to understand that Almighty God, Jesus Christ, as our good shepherd, is saying to you and I am such a good shepherd that I can get to your adversary wherever they are. They cannot go anywhere I can't get to them. Amen. Even when Jesus later dies on the cross and dies on the cross, the Bible says that all of hell freaks out because he was able to get the keys to death, hell, and the grave. Right? Because God is so awesome. He's such a good shepherd. He said, I'm going to finish what I started so that my children, you and I, can have total victory in this life. Hallelujah. Think about that. So he's saying, hey, devil, not only can I have the ability and the authority just to throw you out of heaven, but I can get to you wherever you are. I love that. So Jesus is born in a field to let him know, you may have killed Abel, but you will not destroy me. Abel was an image of what was to come, for a prophecy, so to speak, of what is to come. And you may have killed him, but you will not kill me, because I can come into your field and have victory and not be slain. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And so that's what he did when Jesus was born. The Bible says he came 42 generations to get to a place where he could reach you and I down through all time and down through all the earth, and that he came as a lamb. He came as a lamb for you and I, right where in the midst of the field, a place where there was death before. God says, no, I can go to the place where there's suspected to be death and I can bring life. Right? I can go to the place where there's memories of death, and I am Jesus Christ. I can bring life. See, what I really believe even deeper in the message of Jesus being born in the field is he wants you and I to be able to say and tell every person that's in depression, here comes Jesus. That's the reason why the angel spoke to the shepherds in the field, because they needed to get the message out. Shepherds, it could have been anybody, but I believe it was the angels telling the shepherds, hey, the chief shepherd has arrived. Because he is the chief shepherd. I know pastors call themselves shepherds. I don't use that term, but all we are is an under-shepherd, but he is the chief shepherd. All right. And so the angel appeared before the shepherds out on the field while they were guarding their flocks to say, hey, the chief shepherd has arrived. You and I need to be able to speak to everything that is working against us. If you and I can understand the power and authority of the shepherd, Jesus Christ, in our life, he is all-powerful, almighty, all-knowing. Their victory is in his name. Power is in his name. But if we can understand him as being the good shepherd, then we can tell every person that's in depression, the shepherd is coming, right? We can tell every person that's struggling with addiction, right? Here comes Jesus. You and I need to get that message down in our spirit. Here comes Jesus. Here comes Jesus. Here to our debt, here comes Jesus. To our family being broken, here comes Jesus. To people who are angry, here comes Jesus. That is the answer. And so that's why the angel told the shepherds that, go tell everybody that Jesus is on his way, so that the news could spread. We've got to have that kind of attitude of him being about a good shepherd, that it don't matter if someone's on a ventilator, here comes Jesus. It doesn't matter if that you had to drive yourself to the ER, Cynthia. That still blows my mind. Has a heart attack and drives herself. I got life-flighted, and this woman drove herself. Who said, right, what's that saying? I have woman hear me roar or whatever it is. I mean, for real, y'all. I wasn't even coherent and aware. And here she's driving to Pittsburgh. Why? Here comes Jesus. We got to be able to have the guts and the boldness to tell people who were told by somebody else, you don't have long to live, here comes Jesus. We've got to be able to tell people everywhere, tell our bills, tell depression, worry, doubt, fear, whatever, here comes Jesus, because that's the God that we serve. We've got to be able to even anoint our kid's head with oil and say, here comes Jesus. It doesn't matter what it looks like. Here comes Jesus. He's on the way, the good shepherd. I shall not want. Are you hearing me? For even the sake of our own children, we need to remember that he is the good shepherd, and therefore I won't want. So, Lord, I'm just going to anoint their head with oil and trust in you, because Jesus is on the way. Thank you, Lord. We need to remember the good shepherd, the good shepherd, the good shepherd. Hallelujah. The good shepherd, Jesus Christ. So that you and I can tell every wolf that's in our life that shows up in whatever capacity that the wolf, you can tell every wolf that shows up in any capacity that the shepherd is here. Remember, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So you and I need to find comfort in that as well, that we can tell every wolf that the shepherd is here, because he's afraid of his staff. He's afraid of his rod, right? He knows that he'll chase him off with his rod. You and I have got to find peace and refuge and strength in the good shepherd and all that he is. That's why David said, right, in Psalms 23, he said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Hallelujah. Makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He goes on, my cup runs over. He restores me so much I run over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Goodness and mercy, all of those things. Listen to what he says. All the days of my life will be changed. Why? Because the shepherd is in the field. You got to hold on to that promise right there in Psalms 23. When David says, all the days of my life, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. All the days of my life. Why? Because the shepherd is in the field. Because the shepherd has all authority, all power over all the wiles and schemes of the enemy. Back to John 10 that we read earlier. When he says, I am the good shepherd. John 10:10. The enemy comes but to steal, kill, and to destroy. But I, Jesus, have come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly. Why? How? Because the shepherd is in the field. You and I need to take and get peace and refuge and strength in knowing that whatever the enemy is doing in your life right now, the shepherd is in the field. That the same way declaration that Jesus made to the enemy the day that he was born to this earth is the same declaration you and I need to remind the devil of today. Hey, devil, the shepherd's in the field. Devil, the shepherd is in the field, meaning you're not going to come into the field. You're not going to come into my place or my home or my job or my church or my family or any of those things and do any damage. You've come to steal, kill, and to destroy, but the shepherd has come that I might have life and that I might have it more abundantly. So wherever I am and whatever I am facing, the shepherd is in the field. Get that in your spirit today. Get that down deep in your spirit that wherever you are and whatever you are facing, that the shepherd is in your field. He is in your midst. He is in your home. He is in our lives. He is in our health. He is in our bills. Hallelujah. The shepherd is in the midst of COVID-19 somewhere. Hallelujah. He's in the field. He's in the field, so we don't need to be fearful, because the shepherd is my reality. He is not my shadow. Jesus is not a shadow. He is my reality. Are you still with me? Hallelujah. He is my reality. He's not a shadow. He's not something I have to wonder about, but the truth of who Jesus is right there. He is my reality. And so I just want to end it right here, because I have to. If you've been struggling with something, if you've got something that has been weighing you down and worrying you, maybe you're losing sleep over it. Maybe you've got yourself, you've lost your joy, your peace, your happiness. Maybe you just say, I'm just not the same person. Don't even know what it is, but you're just not the same person. But you've got something that has been affecting you and causing you grief and causing you pain and tormenting you. If you've been worried about something, or just simply if you're in need of something, remember David says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Say, Lord, I know I'm not supposed to want, but Lord, I need you to fix this. There's been times in my life I've just went to God and said, Lord, I messed this up. And I need you to fix it. So many times, how many of you know, sometimes you and I can screw things up so bad that only he can fix it. So maybe you just need God to fix it. You need him to fix something. The shepherd is in the field. The shepherd is in the field. Sometimes we just got to tell and remind the enemy. In the process of reminding the enemy, remind ourselves, devil, the shepherd is in the field. I mentioned earlier the scripture that says, cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. Hallelujah. In other words, the good shepherd loves you and I so much, he says, stop carrying the weight that you were never designed to carry and give it to the shepherd. The shepherd was designed, the shepherd is equipped with everything that you and I need and to provide the help that we need to carry the weight. The shepherd, to help us when we're in trouble. Hallelujah. Whatever we're in need of, that's what he's there for. Hallelujah. Will you stand with me this morning? We're going to close. Stand. Let's pray. Hallelujah. The good shepherd. The good shepherd. The good shepherd. He is the good shepherd. Hallelujah. Whatever it is that we have need of, whatever it is that we need him to fix, whatever it is that we need him to restore or to heal or to mend, if it's strength that we need, he said, cast your care on me because I care for you. In other words, God says, I care about what you care about. If it concerns you, it concerns him. And he wants you and I to bring it to him. Hallelujah. And so we're going to bring it to him right now. And we're going to pray. If there's things that you and I need to bring to the good shepherd and say, Lord, I need to stop carrying this because it's weighting me down. It's killing me. Come on, let's pray together. We're going to do that. And then I guess they're wanting to have cake. But we're going to pray together at least. I don't care what it is. I don't care if we got to hand something over to him or we just need help or strength or we've been in turbulent times. We're going to give it to him right now. Amen. Will you pray with me? And if that's you, would you just begin to give it to the Lord right now? Say, God, this is me. God, I need you. I need to understand what it is for you to be my shepherd more than ever before. Let's pray. Father, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, today for who you are. I thank you, mighty God, that you are the good shepherd. I thank you for the words in John 10. I thank you for Psalms 23, that you are our shepherd and we shall not want. But God, there are people today that are carrying things they were never meant or designed to carry. And Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that God, that we would have the ability to see you as the good shepherd. God, to see you as the one that goes before us and that goodness and mercy does follow us. That Lord, we're surrounded, that God, we're protected, and that God, we are not in this thing by ourselves. And so Father, I thank you today that you go before us, but God, I thank you today for my backup. I thank you for the backup of goodness and mercy. I thank you that even when I feel like God, we're overcome or we're overwhelmed or that God, we're defeated, that God, you go before me in the presence of my enemies. And God, even in Psalms 23, you said you prepare a table before me and even in the presence of my enemies. God, I thank you that you desire to bless us and help us in such a way that God, even our enemies are going to see us blessed. So Father, I pray today that God, every attack, that God, everything that is weighing down on people's minds, God, I pray everything and every worry and fear and issue and torment and anxiety and every fear, every bill that God seems to be causing disruption and anxiety and sleepless nights, God, we come against those things in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you and I praise you that God, that you are the good shepherd. God, bring revelation right now of who you are as the good shepherd. As you said in your word, I am the good shepherd. God, I thank you today for total breakthrough. I thank you today that this won't be a day of a mediocre breakthrough, but Lord, let there be a divine reversal right now in the name of Jesus. God, where you're going to bring us into still waters. God, you're going to bring us into green pastures in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, that you're going to reveal every wolf in our midst, every wolf in our family, every devil that's been in disguise in the midst of our circle of friends in the name of Jesus. And that, Lord, you're going to restore peace. Peace. Peace in the name of Jesus. Joy. Hallelujah. Like never before. Now, Father, do what only you can do as the good shepherd. And lead us. Lead us. Your word declares that our footsteps are ordered of the Lord. Now lead us. Lead us. Let our feet follow your footsteps. Let goodness and mercy be our backup. That, God, I'm not in this thing by myself. I'm not struggling alone. I'm not weary alone. I'm not depressed alone. But, God, today the good shepherd is in the field. He's in the field. He's in my midst. And he's my help. My help right now. So I pray breakthrough and I pray deliverance over the people of God right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we're going to leave this place and we're going to go about our week. And God, I pray as we do and as we exit this building, and God, as we give tithes and we give offering and people give online, God, would you bless and multiply it for this house? God, bless and multiply it for those that can give today and that do. God, bring increase into the life. Bring the abundance into the life in every aspect. Bless them. Bless them. God, give them the desires of their heart as your word declares. God, we thank you. Lord, we praise you. God, I thank you for a breakthrough in the week ahead. I thank you for the marvelous goodness of God. I thank you that, Lord, we'll have greater revelation of who the good shepherd is throughout the days ahead. God, we praise you and we bless you right now for this and for everything that you have done in Jesus Christ, your mighty and your powerful name, the church says today. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Have a blessed day, everybody.